month, we're talking to Adam Tremblay, Noble's Cooperative Electric's general manager, who will update the membership on the latest happenings at the cooperative. So Adam, we know we just moved to the new office in Slayton last May. Can you tell us how this new space is working for you and the employees?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a wonderful move that we've made here. We didn't know what we were missing until we made the move, as far as like technology and how much easier it is now to get together or to interface with the rest of the country, because there's so much over, you know, Zoom and Teams and things like that, that it's just so much easier in our daily lives as we have multiple meetings, you know, a lot of the days here and that. And it's just really nice to come into a new building and get to greet our members and show them, you know, that we're investing in the community and progressing.
What do you like the most about it?
It just kind of feels like home, you know, when we're here. You know, we have lots of beautiful pictures up and it just feels nice. And, you know, we're a close-knit group and it's easy to get to everybody. And I love that part of it.
Would have there been anything you did differently in the design and the build?
You know, not really in the design, maybe one or two of the rooms a little bit bigger or a little bit smaller, but you know, for the most part, I'm really happy with things turned out. You go back to when we started talking about this and drawing on piece of paper and stuff to where we are now. And we used a lot of cool things from other cooperatives and incorporated those. And we give them credit for that. You know, it's kind of how cooperatives are. We share with each other and set some cool ideas and just put them into one big package here.
Great. So originally the Worthington office that we moved out of was designated to become a daycare center to help provide for the daycare shortage in Nobles County. Whatever happened to that endeavor?
Yeah, it's kind of a sad deal a little bit that's not on the table right now. But, you know, we were kind of told that we had a partner that was going to run it and never got a definite yes. We can't say that, but definitely we're down that. And the third party we're working with had indicated that's probably what's going to happen. So, you know, Tracy and I basically kept going and just to work on the permitting and the design and everything that way. And, you know, last minute that third party went a total different direction from where we thought we were going to go. And, you know, we wish them the best of luck. They want to do their own daycare and, you know, we don't want to compete with them. We wanted to be an asset, you know, for the community. So, you know, hopefully they do move forward and build a daycare because that's a need. But, you know, at the end of the day, they have a really good fit for it. If they move forward, I think that's going to be a better fit even than what we had for an offer out there.
Well, we know you put a lot of work into it and got a lot of sponsorship dollars and grant money. What's going to happen to that now?
Well, the monies they're given back to the county. And or we just declined to receive the dollars for that. Those dollars will go to a project in Rushmore that they've been working on. It was a sister project with us. We didn't work with them directly, but there was one grant that the county put out and then we split it between the two of us. So we just went back to the county and that money should go to that project. And I assume that's being built as they propose that it's going to. So we do get some new daycare spots.
Great. So now that has kind of moved on, what is that office space being used for now?
So we rented the space out to Geronimo Power. You know, they are our partner in the powered land data center that we want to have built by Reading to do it. And, you know, it's worked out wonderfully. They're a great partner. They've painted and put in carpet and, you know, made it a nice space of their own, not using our members' money, which I always love when other people spend their money instead of, you know, the membership has to. And, you know, as any building, you want to have somebody in it or they're just going to deteriorate. So, you know, timing wise and space wise, it worked out perfectly to have somebody that we're working with closely into the space that we own.
That's great. So that's kind of a good transition for us to discuss Geronimo Power. What is the partnership with them that Nobles Cooperative has with them?
You know, the partnership is to help them build this package of a data center. And, you know, we were approached because data centers use a lot of power and we are the power provider in that area near Reading. And, you know, were approached saying, hey, we have a lot of renewables and in your territory, would you be willing to work with us and help us develop this? And of course, you know, after a few months of vetting them and going with GRE and a lot of talks with them and about them with other people, you know, we found that they were a wonderful partner and decided to move forward to help them, like I said, develop this package of, you know, what they're doing is putting together the power and all the permits and the water and everything that you need to do in the land, of course, to put together to sell to a hyperscaler, which would be like a Microsoft or an Apple, Google thing like that is the ultimate plan right now. But, you know, we see tons and tons of community benefits. I see membership benefits as my primary job to work with that. You know, I always say it should provide rate stability and then infrastructure improvement. And what I mean by that is the rate structure, we're going to spread out our fixed costs over billions of kilowatt hours. That should keep that stable. And then also with the infrastructure improvement, I mean, they're going to be a huge member. They're going to provide a lot of margins for the cooperative. And, you know, I think the board will probably choose to use some of those margins to slow down the pace at which electricity prices are increasing. They'll also use them to improve our infrastructure, and whether that be going underground or shortening up spans, you know, that way, we'll have some access to monies that we didn't have before to make everything better for all of our members.
That's great. So how did this project come to fruition, and why do you think they chose to build here?
Well, I mean, a lot of things. You know, they had vetted us and done a lot of work, and I think that we have a really good reputation here as NCE, and you know, that was part of it. Great River Energy has a good reputation of working with renewables. We have a high-powered line down there. We have a 345 kVA line that goes through our service territory. We don't own it, but it's in our service territory. We have tons of generation here. You know, there's tons and tons of generation that isn't being used. And they know that. None of the projects right now are theirs, but, you know, there is the generation here. There's a lack of transmission, you know, so they're saying, hey, we want to build some more. We want to use some of the energy in the area because that will help everybody. That's a win-win for everybody. When we have to shut down the wind turbines because there's not transmission, that's a lose for a lot of people. And so, you know, they see a lot of benefits to doing that, of coming out here into the country, because the model had been build them near the cities, you know, always as close as you can get. And yeah, there's a little bit of latency for the, you know, for the data to get from here to metro areas, but all those other really cool benefits and all the renewables that are going to power that thing are a huge benefit to the end use customers. That's important to them, is to have something that's sustainable and renewable too.
Great. So kind of moving on from that, from your perspective as the general manager of Nobles Cooperative Electric, what is one thing members might be surprised to learn about how the cooperative operates?
I think that they would be surprised of how efficient that we are with things. You know, I guess I don't like to spend a lot of excess money, and we watch what we do. You know, we don't have the newest of equipment in that. We try to look at all the dollars that we spend, and I make all the department managers accountable for what they're doing. And you always think like, would this be, would our member think this is a good use of the money and look at, cause it's their cooperative and it's their monies that we're spending when we do different things. So we try to be really, really aware, you know, of that as a, you know, as a not for profit member owned utility.
Great. So moving on to 2026, and you guys have come up with a 2026 work plan. It sounds like about $4 million will be spent on the system to improve reliability. Is that common?
I mean, we work in four-year work plans. This would be the first year of our new work plan. It's more money than we spent in the past, but we had to, you know, the board has to make a decision, you know, every 4 years, especially as should we spend more money? Do we have to? And we just really, we had to spend more money this year. Since COVID, all of our equipment basically has at least doubles, the poles, wires, trucks, everything we do, big increase, you know, and some labor costs. And that's across the board and everybody has seen that. And so we did increase our spend from what we normally do. Normally we would be closer to $3 million in the past. So, you know, the bad part is with the increases, we're spending $1 million more, but we'll be putting less miles of line underground is our primary focus now coming up. Our last work plan, we focused on substations and updating them because a lot of them hadn't been updated in 40 or 50 years and it was time. Now we're going to kind of go back to the system more and do more improvements, you know, just with lines and poles and wires and things with that.
So how does your team determine the areas that need improvement?
So usually what happens is Cody, the line superintendent, you know, meets with our engineering firm that we work with. And then we have outage data for every line and how many outages there and what caused the outages and what it took to fix it. Then they sit down with alignment because they're the guys that are out there every day and they know the equipment as good as anybody and say, hey, this, we have some copper wire out there from the 1940s. You know, quite a bit of that yet. And some of it's in good shape and some of it's not. And there are other places, hey, we've had a lot of outages here. And, you know, this underground is starting to go bad and different reasons. So they talk about that. They look at it statistically. They look at it engineering wise. Do we look at, you know, do we see, you know, growth in a certain area? If there's more farmers or more, you know, big grain setups or hog barns or things. Is our voltage is good? Do we need to do things to address that? And so, you know, it's a year long process to get that done. And within that 4-year plan, like I said, we developed that 4-year plan. Within that we do have flexibility because something changes, we need to be able to pivot and generally, you know, and shift dollars to the most important thing that's going to benefit the most of our members to do.
What has been the most rewarding part of your role in the past year?
You know, I guess we try to look at what we were going to do for the community and the daycare. I'm putting a lot of work. I basically work 7 days a week on the data center and trying to get that because I think the end of what that's going to do for the community is going to last a very, very long time to do it. You know, so the reward isn't there yet, but, you know, nothing this good ever comes easy is what I keep telling myself as we go through this stuff. And, you know, the reward is out there. So there is a whole lot of satisfaction right now in it, but you definitely see that. And moving in here, you know, has been really cool. I think it's even brought the team closer together. You know, it's easier to get everybody in a room and we actually have room where we can move around. We're not all scrunched in it. And, you know, I love my team and I think that we have the best team in the state. And, you know, I love to be able to have a space to get to work together like we do.
That's great. So I know in 2026, you're celebrating your 90th anniversary of the co-op. How does that reflect on how you do your job and how the team does their job?
Yeah, 90 years is, you know, obviously it's a very long time. And, you know, my neighbor, I'll never forget the time that he told me the story of how when he got electricity and they were coming out and it got to the fall time and their closest neighbor got electricity and then they stopped building for the year and he had to wait. And then the three dairies down the road, they all had the new stuff. And, you know, it's that type of history that's really cool and, you know, what it meant. And then you talk about how it changed their lives and what it does now. We take it all for granted, right, for the most part. But, you know, it's this really, really complex system that we have here. And what a cool business model as far as being a cooperative. So much different that when you try to explain, like, we don't want to make a whole lot of money. We need to make some margin, but we have no desire to make as absolute much as we can, you know, to do it. So let's be efficient. Let's make it the best that we possibly can, you know, and members, you tell us what you want. you know, we can, you know, they elect the board and the board has to decide, hey, Adam, do we want to spend $2 million or are we going to spend $10 million this next year to do it? And that's, you know, the memberships have voted for those people and then the board decides what they want to do. So you have this variability of what we can do when they, if they want to spend, that's going to affect the rates. If they don't want to spend money, it's going to affect our reliability. And it's a really tough balance, you know, that we have, but that's how cooperatives work. You know, and just the whole collective of the membership is working together, you know, through us. And but yet, you know, we hear when they say things and we appreciate it when they stop in or give us a calls and give their input. And so does the board to it. And, you know, it's gone on for 90 years and it's just it's a great model. And especially for our part of the world, there's not a better way to do it, I don't think.
That's great. Well, I think our time is about up. Is there anything else that you've want to say, or you know this podcast is really about our members, and is there anything that you hear from them that you want to talk about?
Yeah, you know, we hear from them quite a bit, but if they are listening to this and they have questions, you know, please ask. You know, we want to work with you, and if you're looking at solar or wind or anything like that, or if you have questions, how does this work? And I hear that data centers are bad and why would you want to be involved with something like that or whatever, you know, just ask the question. Our doors are open and, you know, you own us and we really just want people to ask questions and be active and being part of something that they own. That's a part of their everyday lives and, communicate with us and we'll try to answer your questions.
Great. Well, thank you for your time, Adam.
Welcome.